Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 160 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave.
And George motherfucking Tripsis. Man, 160. We're like over the hill, over the hill.
We've been over the hill for like 120 episodes.
That's what I'm saying. We're like over the hill of the over the hill.
Yeah.
Because you
we're
know,
over the hill and far away.
To so far in 2019.
2019. What have I been doing? What about you, Dave? Have you been doing anything special for 2019?
Not yet. Real House.
Oh, you're still watching that?
Yeah.
I started it.
We watch it like late at night, and it's a pretty intense show. Not just like from the horror aspects, but like the drama aspects
get
pretty intense in that show as well. And so like not always in the mood for it.
No,
so
I totally get that.
We usually end up watching episodes of Monty Python's Flying Circus instead.
It's a good background stuff.
I watched the pilot, the first episode. I haven't got back into it yet.
Of House?
Of Hell
House?
Yeah.
Whatever.
The first episode kind of sucks.
It felt very much.
I think the third or fourth episode's
easily the best episode.
Is that the one where the kid falls into Luke's backstory? Yeah, where you get
is that Luke?
The youngest kid.
Yeah, that's the best episode.
That was a great episode.
Yeah,
for sure. But no, the first episode,
a lot of exposition.
There was, and a lot of it was really unnatural. And I wasn't liking. The dialogue was really unnatural in the first episode. The exposition was really forced and weird feeling, but handled, and they've continued to do a really good job, I feel like, with keeping the horror scene suspenseful. And for the ones that are related to the kids, it's like, man, this is what it felt like as a kid when you heard bumps in the hallway in the middle of the night. This is definitely what it felt like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they did a really good job of capturing that.
Broken neck lady. It's creepy.
Was she in the first episode?
Yeah.
Is she in the first episode?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think you see her. In the first episode, I think you get a glimpse of all the ghosts in the first episode. They're just really hard to see in the background.
One of them is supposed to be the mom, right?
Not gonna remember anything.
But no, like the bent neck lady.
Yeah.
Is referenced in the first one. You know, the little girl wakes up screaming in her bed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the bent neck lady. You get back to all that. But,
okay.
I don't think it
call
actually,
back.
Yeah, I don't think it shows her at that point, but that's what she's reacting to. So
what episode are you on?
Just past the halfway point. So we just finished...
Five?
Just finished her story.
Cool.
So...
Right on.
You know what we've been watching? Don't laugh and don't hate me. We're watching a Fox show, The Masked Singer.
Have you?
Why?
Yeah, we somehow got caught into it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's interesting because you want to know who each one is.
Do you, though?
See, that's my thing.
I don't know if I do. Like, I'm kind of curious to
know. A couple
know,
of them
like,
I figured it out.
So are they really singing?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's actual real celebrities singing.
Okay.
Now, is it singers or like...
Both.
There's
been a combination of both. So, for example, one of them was Tommy Chong.
Okay.
Pretty obvious who it was. After you sing about it, you're like, oh, yeah, it's Tommy Chong. And then, of course, he was one of the first ones out. So, it's fun.
So, is there like... Vote in to guess who it is or anything like that. Like audience participation?
There's audience participation, but not like people at home type of thing. I guess you could hashtag or whatever, but whatever. It's interesting.
Is it?
It is.
Okay. I guess tomato, tomato.
I don't really like watching those, you know, the talent shows and all those.
Really?
Not really.
I used to be really into... America's Got Talent, like at least the first few weeks, because I like seeing talented people do stuff and also people who think they're talented do stuff.
The failures.
Yeah. Those are really interesting. And I don't know. And then I just kind of stopped watching it after a while. I just kind of got burnt out.
Highlights on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, I can do that too. That's what I do now. But I used to be like a pretty avid watcher of America's Got Talent. There was this one people that did like the whole dance number and like with light suits, and they all do like a whole story with the lights. It's
that
pretty
was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
I've been doing a Game of Thrones rewatch.
Have you?
Yep.
Getting ready for season, what are they, seven, eight?
I think it's eight.
Eight, yeah.
Yeah, it's a eighth and final season.
In April, right?
Yes. I am currently, by the time this episode comes out, I'll be on season three.
What did I watched? Okay. So what did I watch the other night? I rented First Man.
The Neil Armstrong movie.
Yeah, Neil Armstrong, the starring everybody's heartthrob.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
I forgot think of his name. That even happened.
That
apparently,
everyone.
So we went to a Redbox. I wanted to rent The Grinch, which is a completely different movie, they were out. And I was looking for something light, and I was actually working on a project. I wanted something on in the background. So
First Man is definitely something put on in the background.
It was not, totally not. It took me two nights to get through this movie. It's not bad. It's very dark and sort of boring, but it's not a horrible movie. You know
I hear
I mean?
The sequence where he's
thematically
going into
dark
space.
Or visually dark.
Both. Yeah, very.
I hear the sequence where he's going into space is done very, very well.
It is, yeah.
It's a lot. The only sequence of the movie that's shot in IMAX.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Imagine this movie in VR. Just how sick you would get. Because there's a lot of it. Just camera jumbles.
It's
and stuff.
Damien Chazelle.
Yeah.
Director. He made La La Land and Whiplash.
See, I never saw Whiplash yet.
Whiplash is an amazing
film. I never saw La La Land either, so.
I've never seen either.
La La Land's all right. I didn't love it as much as everyone else
did. Wasn't Ryan Gosling in that, too?
Yeah. I didn't love that one as much, but it was good, but it wasn't
You know
great.
What my biggest complaint of First Man was, is the camera was too close to everybody. The shots were really close.
They're trying to get you into that personal space.
They're probably trying to get you that feeling of being in the capsule. Of,
yeah.
Well, no, not just in the capsule area, but just when they're hanging out. And
oh, okay.
It was just like, you're way too close to this guy.
Yeah, that
back
seemed,
up a little
like,
bit.
I could see that being a directing choice. It's like when you're shooting inside the spacecraft. Hey,
you want to feel that tightness.
Let's feel that claustrophobia. But yeah, like that sounds excessive.
So I found another movie that same night. Sort of dealt with space. I watched Geostorm.
It's a terrible movie.
It was a terrible, it's good movie.
Good is a strong word.
Okay.
There's some really stupid moments that make
agreed.
You laugh.
Some of the acting was really bad, but
it makes you think, like, what happened to Gerard Butler?
He was bad in this movie.
He's terrible in, like, a lot of movies lately.
But you know what? I still had fun watching it, which is a weird thing. Which one?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Like, collecting that paycheck. Like,
he's
a far better performer than...
And there was, like, good people in this movie. Like, Ed Harris was in this movie, and...
Ed Harris is playing Ed Harris.
Yeah, and was it Andy Garcia was, like, in the movie. I'm like, what are they doing in this movie?
Andy Garcia was in it?
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did. I saw it on HBO.
He was the president.
Oh, it shows you how much it was forgettable. Catherine really loves disaster movies.
I do, too.
So... We watched it because Catherine really wanted
it. Was a disaster movie, but half of it was in space.
It's like disaster movie meets fucking Michael Bay, I guess, at some point.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a terrible movie.
But I still had fun watching it.
It's not a good movie.
No, I didn't say it was a good movie.
The premise of it's
stupid. There's a difference between good and having fun.
The premise is stupid. They turn the satellite into a weapon.
Yep. You described the plot right there.
Yeah, it hurts my brain to think about it.
You know what I started rewatching though from the beginning?
What's that?
Is A Good Place on Netflix.
From the very beginning? Is it because you've never seen it before?
No, I have, but I started listening to the Good Place, the podcast on it's in and it starts from the first episode. It's really cool. It's like one of the actors from the show, and he interviews different writers and, you know, directors and stars from the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to start from the beginning. And I'm like on episode 8 from in the first season again.
Okay.
There's so many things you don't notice the first time watching it. Because like the episode 13 of the first season when that big reveal happens, you know. It's fun. It's a great show.
I was watching it on TV and I missed when they took a break, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping to catch up on Hulu, but they only they didn't give me all the episodes on Hulu, so right. I'm just going to wait till it's all on Netflix and just...
Because season 3 is done already.
Yeah,
so
I'm going to wait till
it's
on...
It won't be too long.
Yeah, I'll wait till it's all on there.
Have you seen that show, Dave?
No, my wife's been watching it usually when I'm here doing this.
Oh.
So I haven't seen any of it, but she has been recommending
it. Ted Danson is great.
It's a really funny show, and it's all there's a lot of digital effects in it, which is surprising for like a sitcom like that. But it's just a really well done, thought provoking show too. There's a lot of not just stupid comedy, but a lot of ethics and makes you think about different things in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I saw a shitty movie on Netflix recently.
The Bird Place, Bird Box.
I saw that too. I did see that.
I did too.
That was terrible.
Yes.
No, I saw another terrible movie that was recent. It was Velvet Buzzsaw, the new Jake Gyllenhaal movie. Terrible.
Is that where the paintings kill people or something?
It's exactly
okay. I saw the trailer when I was flipping through. I was like,
the trailer is a lot more intriguing than the whole fucking movie. like, so there's some cool death scenes, and
he's very emo, isn't he?
No, he's just an art critic.
Okay.
All the actors in this movie are fantastic, which is way better than what this movie deserves. It just never goes anywhere. It's like they have all this good plot stuff going on. It just never really does anything with it. People just die.
By painting.
By paintings and art. They get killed by art.
Is it Vigo?
Virgo.
That's the only painting I care about killing people.
It is Virgo.
Yeah, we did finish the last part of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
They wrapped it up in nice tight bows, I guess. It's fun.
Okay.
It's a funny show. You know, never seen it?
I saw season 1.
Mm.
And I thought that's where it should have ended.
He got to season 3.
Okay. Should have ended at season 1.
But I have been playing a game I was really looking forward to.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yep.
Knew it. I know you, Carrie.
You saw me playing part of it earlier.
On that, and I know you. I knew you were playing that before you even played.
I'm going to say a few things. It looks great. It's a beautiful looking game.
Sure.
But you can totally tell this game, everything about this game style, gameplay, is from 13, 14 years ago.
And it's 10 years too late is what you're trying to say?
Maybe. I'm not saying, okay, don't hate me. I'm not saying I hate the game. I'm actually having fun playing it. There's a lot of
Dave, have
scenes.
You played these games?
Not a one.
Not one?
There's
not
a lot
something
of,
that tickles your fancy? Or?
It should.
Yeah.
Because of, like, I'm interested in it from, like, what they do with the Disney stuff, obviously.
Yep.
That's the hook.
That is the hook, because
that was a hook for
really,
me.
Really, the JRPG thing
not for me
doesn't really grab me. I have played a few.
Yeah, like Final
I've
Fantasy.
I really
or
enjoyed a few, but the thing about almost every single one that I've played is they all reach this point where it just becomes a slog, and that's where they lose me every single fucking time. Where.
It's, this one's not really that way.
Does it not have that?
It's more of an action
game. It's an action game. It's not a typical... It has RPG elements in it, where you upgrade your weapons and you get all this different stuff, but it doesn't have that turn-based, you know, action strategy what you're probably thinking of most Final Fantasy games have.
Yeah.
It's straight action.
Uh-huh.
So you press the button, you attack, you jump, you attack. It's always been that way, but it feels like an old school game, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. It's just with so many games that are taking it to a new level that are newer, it's weird to sort of go back to that old school mentality. But and don't get me wrong, the fucking storyline is confusing as hell. Still, it's convoluted. You don't know what the hell's going on. Even if you know the story, you still don't know what the hell's going on. But there's been some cool levels so far. The Toy Story level was pretty fun.
I saw you play the Monsters Inc.
Yeah, game. Monstropolis was cool. Monsters Inc.
Yeah.
I did, I've done Frozen.
Did you Let It Go?
I did Let It Go, and they play that damn song. There's a whole.
I mean, why wouldn't they? It's
a whole
grand cut standard.
Scene, and you're just like, oh, fuck, really? Tangled level, which was sort of cool.
Did you turn into the Rapunzel's hair or something?
No, you don't.
Oh, okay. I just
not the characters, but her hair is in the game. Yeah,
I would hope so.
You swing around trees with it. Truthfully.
Like, God, what's that one game, old arcade game?
Pitfall?
Pitfall, yeah. So it's very Pitfall style with hair.
Sure. Yeah. It's okay.
Okay.
I haven't got to the Pirates level. I think it's probably coming up soon, which looks pretty fun.
Pirates of the Caribbean with Jack Sparrow?
Yep. There's not as many. Doesn't feel like there's many levels as like some of the older games. Like Part 2 had a lot of levels. There's a thing called there's theme park attraction attacks, which you saw a couple of them. One of them's like the teacups. One of them's like a pirate ship, like the sailing ship Columbia, is actually what it is. There's the like the raft boat type of style. I wish there was more. There's like there's no Haunted Mansion. There's no pirates. There's no Space Mountain. You know. They could have done more with that aspect, I think.
They just should have consulted with you, Carrie.
They should have. But what's cool about those attacks is...
But you don't speak Japanese.
So. I don't. They all have the style. They all look like the Main Street Electrical Parade, which is pretty fun. But, oh, yeah, there's another... The other level I did was... You start off in the Hercules level.
The movie Hercules?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And do you, like... Do the seven challenges of Hercules or anything?
No. He's in it. The original voice actors from that movie are in it. Except, which is the weirdest thing, I don't remember Danny DeVito's character's name. Do you?
He played the...
The little short guy.
The nymph.
Yeah. So, this was weird when I was watching, when I was playing the game, I'm like, okay, he's in the cutscenes, but I guess I couldn't get anybody to replicate Danny DeVito's voice or get Danny DeVito because it didn't say one fucking word. I'm like, why have him in the
game? Does he just make gestures and
stuff?
He's
just there. I'm like, why have him in the game if he's not going to say anything? It's weird.
Well, he's in the game.
Yeah, I know.
They can't say that the character's not there.
No. I will definitely finish out this game and play through it all. But it doesn't feel like it's not going to have like a lot of replayability. You know what I mean? After a certain
year... Did the other ones have that, though?
No.
So...
But after a 13-year wait, you would... I was hoping for more, you know what I mean?
What were you hoping for?
Something spectacular. And not something that's
something
as good.
Something incredible, I guess.
I guess.
Oh, I finally watched Incredibles 2.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was fun.
Yeah,
I liked it. It took me...
It's okay.
Like, I could not figure out... That was Bob Odenkirk.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And took you to the second movie to figure that out?
Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the other Bob.
What other Bob?
What about Bob? The main character. His real name is Bob something, right?
No.
Coach.
Craig Nelson. Craig T. Nelson. He played a character that had a name Bob or
His
something.
His name's Bob. Robert Parr. Bob Parr, yeah. Is the Mr. Incredibles alias.
Yep.
But, No, like the
guy that owned it.
The big megacorp
yep.
guy. I could not, like, I knew the voice, and I'm like, why can't I place this guy? It's bugging the crap out of me. And then when I saw his name roll by, I'm like, of course, that's who that was. Gotcha. So,
I
enjoyed it. It was fun.
I like Incredibles too. It was just a little predictable. And
oh, yeah, totally. Like, I immediately knew that one or the other or both of those siblings were our villain. Like,
right, I knew it was, like, I knew right. it was her. I'm like,
I was
oh.
kind of hoping it would have been both.
I was kind of hoping yeah. it was going to be both, too. Her name was a dead giveaway, though.
Ex-villain.
Because their last name was Dever.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
Her name was Evelyn, Evil Endeavor.
Oh, God.
Bum, bum, bum.
So
I never thought about that. All right. Way to throw it in our face.
Right?
Yeah.
Meh.
It's not as bad as Wreck-It Ralph 2, though.
It was much better than Wreck-It Ralph 2.
That's true. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is terrible.
I wouldn't say terrible.
No, it's
terrible. Not good.
You can say it's terrible.
Okay, it's terrible.
It's terrible. I saw Lego Movie 2.
I still want to see that.
Is that out?
Yeah. Came out last Friday, right?
I don't know
yeah.
That. Yeah. It's all right. That's it.
I'm very concerned with it not having the original creative team because the first one was magic.
Yeah.
So the writer.
Lightning in a bottle.
God damn it. What the fuck's their names?
Chris Miller and Phil Lord.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They are not directing this one. They wrote
Chris
it.
Miller
oh, they
wrote
did
it,
write
right?
it.
They wrote it. They did the second pass and they are executive producers.
Okay.
So they didn't come up with a story for this one, but they did the writer treatment on it. They made it funny, basically. I would only say that I didn't enjoy the first half of the movie. I was thinking, ugh, this is fucking terrible.
Does Chris Pratt get preachy at all?
Why would he get preachy? He's a minifigure.
I know, but did they get preachy about Jesus?
Morgan Freeman's not in this movie.
What the fuck are you talking about? not the real Jesus.
No, not that I can.
Is there imagine. Any really surprise cameos or anything?
Yes, there are quite a few good surprise cameos. There's a quick glimpse of Bill and Ted at some point.
Oh, really? I know RBG's in it.
And there's a she's in it. And then there's a quick glimpse of Bruce Willis.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's pretty great. I think the Bruce Willis gag had the best laugh throughout the whole movie for me.
Have to see that.
And now that I've seen the phone booth and Bill and Ted, Lego needs to get on it and make a Bill and Ted Lego set.
I'd buy that.
I'd buy that.
I think a lot of people would buy that. I heard a rumor that the movie is going into production this year.
Next month? Yep. Next month. And it goes into production.
You know what else is going into
According
production?
According to Keanu Reeves' Twitter.
You know what else is going into production? Jane, Silent Bob reboot.
Reboot?
Reboot.
Are you excited about that?
I hope so. I have trust in them.
Do you?
I do.
Last few movies have not showed much trust.
Well, I'll give you that, but... You know what else he's working on, though, right?
I do. That's also was what makes me nervous, because it just makes me feel like it's going to be, you know, it'd be great, man.
There's a bunch of Hulu Marvel series coming out.
Yeah.
One of them is MODOK.
Do you know the anagram for MODOK?
Machine only design something kill.
It's close.
What is it?
You were right on the money. It's like
something organism designed only to kill.
It's machine organism designed only for killing.
Yeah.
MODOK.
What else is there? There's
Dazzler.
Dazzler and Tigra show.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And then.
And they say, okay, this was
another one too. Fuck, I don't remember what it is, but
the Howard the Duck one
is the crown jewel of that. Yes. Series. And they're supposed to be in their own universe.
The Offenders. Yeah, they're all going to come together like the Defenders did and have like the series afterwards.
Yeah, you know what makes me really nervous about this, though, is that the guy who is the producer for all the Netflix series and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a producer on these animated shows.
I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And don't say, do you? But because, yes, I do.
I mean,
I've caught up on
season
this
one
year.
Was terrible, and then they got really good when they brought in decent writers for seasons 2, 3, and 4, and then all those writers left to do better projects, and then the show got terrible again.
I don't agree with that. I still like the show.
Is it still on the air?
Yeah, they're doing like a abbreviated.
How is that season. Show still on the air? No one watches it.
I watched it on Netflix. Does that count?
No.
Does it count to the numbers?
No, it does not show numbers. Mm. Okay. But anyway, like, The Defenders was terrible. Iron Fist was terrible.
You know, I got so behind on the Netflix Defender Universe. I haven't finished Punisher, the first season.
I tried watching it. Just couldn't
I haven't
get
finished
into
Iron
it.
Fist season whatever
two?
It was, 2 or 3.
They only made 2.
Okay, season 2. I watched the first one. I didn't see Luke Cage season 2.
I didn't even bother.
It's just.
I haven't watched most of that stuff.
Tried watching a little bit of Jessica Jones season 2. Wasn't
I think
into
we
it.
Watched that. Yeah, we did finish that.
I couldn't get into it. I didn't even finish the latest Daredevil.
I haven't seen that either.
I watched 2 episodes of it and I'm like, I'm done.
What?
What? Nothing. She doesn't know either.
The voice in the other room is coming here to bitch at us, I guess.
No, I know what it's about.
Oh, okay. Do you want to move on to a topic?
We have a topic?
We should.
This was our topic. Bitching no, this about is not stuff our topic. That we hate.
No, that's your topic every day.
All the time.
That's George's topic of the day.
As long as the topic can be something I can bitch about, then yes, I'm ready.
All right, let's get into it.
That was good, huh?
Mm.
That was really good. So our topic, of course, is going to be Disney.
What?
I'm on my Kingdom Hearts Disney, I guess, high, I guess. And to start everything off, we just had a Mickey ice cream bar.
Most def.
The same kind you would get in the parks.
Almost.
Almost. They tasted close pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Yep. Tasted pretty good.
Just the ice cream was smaller. Just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good. We found them at Target today.
And, how much?
It was like $7.20 something for six of them.
That's not bad.
It's cheaper than the parks.
Cheaper than the parks.
The parks is like $5 for one now or something like
is
that.
Is it really?
Wow. Probably like $4.50 or something.
I think it is $4 something.
For one?
For one, yeah.
But they're much larger than the
they
ones
are,
we
no, they are. These are probably like half the size of the one. That,
maybe, yeah. Maybe like third the size. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's enough. It's definitely enough.
It was filling for me.
Whatever that dark chocolate coating is, it's freaking delicious.
Especially if you're not having a lot of sugar right now.
Like me
God,
and you.
It was like fucking tantalizing on the lips.
I know. He's actually, after between everything he says, he's running around the house and coming back.
That's right.
It's so much sugar.
It's like speed on crack.
So we decided to talk about Disney then. We're amped up on our Mickey ice cream bars. We want to talk about a couple different things. We want to talk about the live action films, and we want to talk about some Disney park stuff that's going on. So,
sure.
Let's start with the live action. Let's start
films.
With the Aladdin trailer that just came out.
The TV spot that came
TV
out.
TV spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That came out last night? Night before last?
I think it was two nights ago.
Yeah, it came out during the Grammys, I believe.
Oh.
Which
yeah.
I didn't watch the Grammys, so.
Does anybody watch any award shows?
But anymore? Hold on.
I don't
care about the fucking Grammys. Doesn't matter. But High on Fire did win Best Metal Performance, which
did they
doesn't
really?
Mean shit.
And it doesn't matter.
At least they recognized a metal band.
Okay, you know what? I will say this. It seems like the Grammys are starting to get a clue
about
in
metal?
Regard to metal.
Maybe.
The last few years, they've been getting a little bit closer. But even when they pick well,
yeah,
I feel like their choices are like 10 years out of date.
Well, like, they didn't I know Ghost between the buried a couple years ago?
Ghost won, yeah. I felt like Ghost was maybe the most timely choice because it was the right time for them. That one I felt like was actually a timely choice. But like
yeah.
Then Megadeth won. And like that was
the following year.
They yeah. went for like a cover or something
for
too.
Megadeth
right?
won in 2016. And no, it wasn't a cover, it was one of the songs off of Dystopia.
Cover of older good Megadeth.
Well
bom, bom, bom.
That album was one of the best Megadeth albums they've put out in a long time.
I agree. I do agree on that.
It was a
I'm
good album.
Shit.
However, there was so much better metal
oh,
that
yeah.
came out that year. That like Megadeth didn't even make my list.
Like Bornagar, right?
It's that kind of thing. It's like Megadeth is obviously a band that's paid their dues and have put in the time and have.
But it's
a
popular choice.
It's not even that
it's
popular.
Well, they're a known name. They're the brand. People know the name Megadeth. People don't know High on Fire.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Is like Megadeth is an easy choice. They deserve to win awards. That's fine. They've paid their dues. That's fine that they're winning awards, but it doesn't seem like it's really the most timely, the most knowledgeable, the most we get what's going on here. Like it seems like what it is, a bunch of people who don't know shit about metal trying to tell you what you should think about metal. That's what it reads as. But I feel like they have been gradually improving the last few years. Like Mastodon won last year.
Right.
And again, Mastodon should have won 10 years prior.
Yeah.
Emperor of Sand was a great album. And I'm not trying to say this to say that like what I think should be the standard for what's considered good metal music, but like
that's what it sounds like.
I know it does. I know it sounds like that. But Emperor of Sands didn't even make my list.
Yeah, but for someone who's probably not deep into metal, but that casually listens to metal, that would probably be on their list.
Maybe. It, you know, it was on a lot of people's lists. Yeah, so
it was on my list last year.
So that's to my point. They seem to be getting closer.
Sure.
I'll give them that credit, that they're getting closer to the mark. Because for so fucking long, they would announce their, like, you know, here's the metal noms. And I'm like, who the fuck picked that?
So the first metal Grammy was 1990.
Jethro Tull.
That's not what it says here.
Was that maybe the second one then? That was maybe the second one.
I think Jethro Tull, yeah, maybe. Okay, so Metallica is one, many times, Nine Inch Nails, Ozzy, Soundgarden, Nine Inch Nails.
These are all popular choices.
Tool, Metallica, Black Sabbath, Deftones, Tool, Korn, Metallica, Motorhead, Slipknot, Slayer, Metallica, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Tenacious D, the most metal band ever, I guess. Ghost, Megadeth, Mastodon, then High on Fire. So, yeah, I totally see where you're going, where it's High on Fire is sort of changing that. Hey, this is a band that maybe not everybody knows.
This is a little bit more of an underground band. This is not a Priest
or Metallica. Yeah, for sure.
Like, High on Fire, I mean, they've been around.
Sure, yeah.
They've got pedigree. They've got members who've been in other bands that you might have heard of as well. But High on Fire is not a high-profile band, really.
So the band up for this award this year were High on Fire, Between the Buried and Me, Def Haven, Trivium, and Under Oath.
Thank God Def Haven didn't win.
Agreed. I would have been okay with Between the Buried and Me, too, because I think they're a great band. They've paid their dues. Yeah. But, all right. We totally got off topic from Disney.
Yeah, this is a very Disney-rific topic about the Grammys.
So let's talk about the Aladdin trailer.
Aladdin trailer
teaser.
That came out during the Grammys.
That's how we got
That's sidetracked. That's how we got there, everyone. Welcome back around.
Okay, first, let me say, I know you fucking hate this. Because you've already made your...
Well, so I'm basing off of the first trailer that we saw.
Sure.
It came out last year, like late in the last year, in 2018.
But it wasn't much.
Yeah, it wasn't much, but it was a teaser. And this was also another teaser. I hated the teaser that we saw then. Goes to show you, still true to form, I'm still not anticipating to like this movie at all.
I enjoyed the music of it. I love the
Aladdin, a slower version of the music from Aladdin, the original Aladdin.
So, no, I mean, I like the music from Aladdin a lot.
Yeah,
Aladdin is one of my top three Disney cartoon movies of all time.
Yeah.
I love Aladdin. It's one of my favorites. Everything about it was great. The music's great. It's catchy. It's just one of the best movies from that era.
Most definitely. It's easily hands down one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah, totally. I haven't seen every single live-action movie they've redone, but I've seen a lot of them. I'm sort of nervous about this one because
they did Beauty and the Beast, and they did Cinderella.
I didn't see Cinderella.
What else have they done?
Jungle Book.
Oh, yeah, Jungle Book. I really liked Jungle Book.
Jungle Book was pretty good.
Because it actually improved the animated movie. It gave the characters motivations, and they added a whole subplot that meant something to the characters.
Sure, but they call these live action movies. Some of these are not live action movies.
None of them
they're CGI.
There's not hardly anything in there that's live
action. The Jungle Book is not really a live action movie. There might be a human character in it.
Sure.
Same thing that's going to be with The Lion King.
It's a reimagination.
A reimagining. That's what they're calling them.
Yeah.
A non-cartoon version.
Or what we can really call it, cash grab.
Well, yeah. I just heard that they're thinking about redoing this for Nightmare Before Christmas, too.
I heard.
Really?
Yes.
Heard rumor of
Shut
that
up.
Too.
Seriously.
That's a terrible
But
idea.
Why?
A live action? I don't know.
The last thing I heard was that they're going to do a live action Hunchback of Notre Dame.
With Josh Gad.
Yeah.
That's true, too. Yeah.
As Josh Gad as a possible.
No, I've heard he's on.
He's on for
that's
real.
That's what I've heard.
Shut up.
No, that's we will not shut up.
That's a terrible idea.
Oh, that reminds me of something that I did do recently, a little brief aside, went to go see Book of Mormon.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, Josh Gad wasn't in it.
But that's where he got to start
from. That's where he got to start.
What'd you think of it?
It was hilarious.
It's fucking great.
It was awesome.
I told you the story that my grandmother wanted to see this movie, right? Or see the play. So we took her, she took me and my wife, actually. She's like, well, I want to go see this. Will you go with me? We were like, of course, yes, we'll go. we already knew what it was going in. And this was towards, she was always starting to go a little deaf. And she would lean over and go, what'd they say? I'm like, oh, we'll talk about that later. So she still had a fun time. So it does, that's all that matters, you know?
I want to see it. I haven't yet to see it yet.
It's good. I mean, it's like a South Park episode came to life and is on a stage in front of you.
That's great.
So, yeah, but totally. The only, so going back to this live action Nightmare Before Christmas, the only way it could make any sense would be Doug Jones. It's the only way.
But why? Well, you know what? And he has said, I've heard him on like a Nerdist podcast like years ago. He said he would love to do something like that. Actually physically play Jack Skellington.
He's the only one that I can think that could do it.
Yeah.
He's the only person in the world.
But why?
No, I didn't say it should happen, but it's like it's the only one that...
It's the only question I want to ask anyone in the marketing team over there. But why?
Because people will go see it and give them more money.
Just re-release the movie and make the money again.
They do that again. They do that anyways. That's not going to stop them from doing that, too.
They're just wasting money making these movies.
No, they're not. Well, they're making... They're making a shit ton of money off these movies.
Beauty and the Beast barely turned over a profit.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
If anything, it was great internationally, but domestically, did not pull a big profit.
So they're also, Dumbo's coming out soon.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about Dumbo.
Which is Tim Burton.
But Dumbo makes sense. Like, it's that movie is ripe for reinterpretation and also to be reintroduced into the world.
I love how Tim Burton's able to go back to his Big Fish set for this movie.
It's ending Danny Vito says is ending his carnival trilogy with,
oh, did he say that? That's funny because the last trailer I watched for Dumbo and I'm like, this is just Danny DeVito's thing now. He's a carnival,
he's just a carny dude
leader
for Tim Burton.
Carnival Barker. What, so I know he was in Big Fish. What was the other one?
Batman Returns. He had a little carny,
that's right,
twist
he did,
to that,
yeah,
as well
before he became the penguin.
So apparently they're also doing, coming out late this year, Lady and the Tramp.
That's coming to, that's going to be the, one of the major movies to the Disney Plus.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a Disney,
oh, I see. Okay.
It's a Disney, gotcha, Plus original.
Yeah, that's right. I see that.
Well,
here,
that's where some of them should live then.
Right. But see, you can't drop all this money into Aladdin and expect it to go to streaming service.
No.
With Lady and the Tramp, it's going to be like that Beverly Hills Chihuahua style where you have dogs sitting there and they're just going to move their mouths with animation.
Or peanut butter.
Or peanut butter, like they do with Mr. Ed.
That's right.
I don't get it. I
get it. I don't like it, but I get it.
So, like, the reason they're doing it, it's for children. You got, first and foremost, these movies are for children.
You know, I don't agree with that at all. It's for nostalgia.
These are kids' movies.
Yes.
When we were young.
Right.
So they're rehashing it, nostalgia, so they're getting our age group,
yes,
plus the young kids.
But, and this may just be, you may be right, and it may just be because of the times, but they did the same thing when we were kids.
Yeah.
With stuff like The Jungle Book.
Exactly.
They just re-released it.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I guess it shows its age. I guess some producers' children say, oh, those movies are old. And they were like, hey, you know what? Those movies are old. And
well, then I just saw Kermit the Frog for a second.
Was that Kermit the Frog?
It sounded very Kermity.
Kermit the Frog here.
Oh, wow, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
Rest of the episode in a Kermit voice.
That's very difficult to do. I don't know. It's just, I get that these are children movies. I try to tell that to myself in my brain when I watch them. But the problem is, if you're going to make them good. Don't just give me the exact same story, the animated story in live action form. Do something better. Do something different. Or not make it look like CGI crap fest.
Honestly, that's my biggest complaint is, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I don't really get the production quality.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a look that they've gone for in these.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to, I'm actually looking through these, what they're, a list of what's considered these reimaginings, going all the way back to, in my opinion, Alice in Wonderland.
Forgot about that.
Tim Burton ones.
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
God, those were terrible.
Like, it seems like this production quality vision look.
Burton-esque.
is that.
It's all Burton-esque.
But it's not even Burton-esque. It was Tim Burton vomit that happened in the Alice in Wonderland movie. It doesn't look good. Right. It doesn't look cohesive. Now, they're still able to do some cool stuff with it from time to time, but all of these movies look like that.
And some of that aesthetic kind of bled over into Wrinkle in Time remake. And then also...
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, yeah, it, this is, it's... That movie failed.
Yeah.
It did not make money.
So did the other one... What's the other movie they put out this year? The Nutcracker?
Yes, oh, the Nutcracker in Nine Realms that. Or whatever.
But the, yes, exact same, the same
the exact same aesthetic. Yeah. So what I think it is one, it's a budget thing. Like, mm-hmm. they can turn these out faster if they film it this way. And two, it's they're probably the exact same producers for all the movies.
Yeah.
The same sets.
Yeah.
They just reuse them.
They just reuse the same studio and
reuse the same... assets,
yeah,
the same exactly. digital assets, yeah. Just use them over and over.
And you got to remember, like when we were
like
kids,
in early cartoons,
Walt
when they
Disney
used to do that.
Oh
yeah,
they did that time.
Yeah, like Mowgli.
So is this
exactly?
So
like,
is this like the modern
Arthur
day version
does, like,
of
yep.
that
kind of thing?
What's that? I'm sorry.
And so is this the modern day version of that? Like they did that when we were kids.
Jesus, Kenneth Branagh directed Cinderella.
That's why it was good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually enjoyed the
remake. I don't remember seeing Cinderella. I might have seen it.
The reason why I like the Cinderella remake, not a lot of CGI and decent actors.
Which Disney animated movie do you think would not work, completely just not work in this format?
Aladdin.
Besides the ones that are already being made.
God, that's a good question.
What about Snow White?
Didn't they make Snow White recently? Snow White and the Huntsman?
Oh, well,
that wasn't Disney, was it?
It's not. No.
It'd be weird as a Snow White aesthetic. But they did Maleficent, which is connected
Sleeping
to
Beauty.
Snow White, right?
No, Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
I guess Maleficent would be considered part of this.
It is. It's on the list here. Yeah.
Because it's taking character from these movies and just...
Most definitely.
Which I didn't hate Maleficent. I thought that was an okay movie.
I thought the CGI was terrible.
I don't remember that one.
I saw it on TNT one time, and I'm like, wow, what a piece of shit movie.
So go through the list. Let's talk about what they're considering.
Okay, so...
Well, you answer your own question. What, is there a movie you have in mind that's an animated movie that that they can't make into a live-action movie? It would just be too weird?
Well...
Aristocats. That would be one.
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood
would be weird.
Wouldn't that be weird?
That'd be cool, though.
But I could totally see them actually attempting to do it, though.
What about The Rescuers?
A whole bunch of furries.
Yeah.
The Rescuers?
You know, I rewatched The Rescuers recently, one and two. I forgot how fucking good that movie is. The first one's a slog, though. The one that came out in the 70s?
Yep.
It's a bit rough.
Came out in the Disney's dark era.
A bit rough. It's not a beloved gem as much as I thought it is.
You know which one I would love them to redo? The Black Cauldron.
As a live action?
Live action.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Like
it would work.
Like a Lord of the Rings approach. They could probably do that on their new Disney Plus. They are making a Dragon's Lair movie.
With Dirk Daring?
What?
Dragon's Lair?
No, Dragon's Lair, the
arcade
Don
game.
Bluth arcade game. Yeah. Don Bluth is making that into an animated movie.
That's cool.
I mean, it's been in the works for like 10 years.
Yeah, the character's name I think was Dirk Daring.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Black Cauldron is one of my favorite book series as a kid. And I haven't seen the movie in a long time. I need to rewatch it, but
so
it's been a while.
My whole thinking of this, and I just wish that Disney would have had the gusto and the balls and the trust to make something a little bit daring. They have this auteur director, Guy Ritchie, and they put him in a box. And they said, all right, make everything on green screen.
Play in the box.
Play in this box. And that's a problem. Because he can make good stuff. Not recently, but he can make good stuff.
What's the last movie he did?
That King Arthur movie.
Wait, which?
It's the King Arthur or Charlie Hunnam.
Oh,
Jude Law. It was terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of CGI crap in that again.
You think that was another situation where he was put in a box and told to play?
They told him, like, oh, this is, you need to do something else. Midway through production. It had a lot of production problems. I think the first thing they should have done is not hire Guy Ritchie. They should have hired somebody much better. Or at least somebody who's more suited for this kind of story.
I think they're hiring directors for their abilities, but they're not giving them the chance to hone in on their abilities.
They're cashing in on the name.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, oh, we got Jon Favreau. He did The Jungle Book.
And well, see, Jon Favreau had a vision, and he had an idea with right. a new technology that he was developing for Disney.
He's working on a Disney movie, too, isn't he?
He's One working on the Lion Star King. Wars TV show and the Lion King
Lion King,
King
that's what it is.
Using the technology that he created via Jungle yep. Book, he's perfecting it for Lion King, which another movie, I don't understand why is that being made.
Along with Aladdin, The Lion King is another one of my top Disney movies
Lion
of all
King
time.
Is one of the best animated movies ever.
I don't know.
You know, I went to the Walt Disney Museum. Everyone thought that Lion King was going to fail. Like really? Everybody on Lion King, the animators, as you go through the museum, they have interviews with the animators and stuff, and they're all considered the B team animators. Because while that movie was being animated, there was another movie during the exact same time being made, and that was like their A team.
Pocahontas, perchance?
Yes, it was okay. Pocahontas.
That seems right for the timeline.
Yeah, yeah. So Pocahontas was supposed to be like their big seller, and mm-hmm. all the A team animators.
They
are
can't
on
do
there.
A live action of that one anymore.
I mean, they could. Why not?
They just have to be very careful about it.
They're very peace. It'd be too PC.
But it wouldn't be hard. I don't think that would be a problem.
Lion King, in all intents and purposes, was supposed to fail.
Yep.
And it didn't. It out-surpassed almost everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Just
like, I believe in the Lion King reimagining. I believe in Jon Favreau. I believe.
Why? I mean, it's the same
Do they need
movie.
To do it? No, yeah. they don't need to do it. But I will be there for just to watch it.
It's just another animated version of the same movie, Carrie.
It's a CGI version of the movie. That's what it is.
Sums up all of my feeling about this whole phenomenon is like I've seen most of them. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen most of them. And
at what point do they run out?
They're fine. I tend to enjoy them. For the most part, like, I have an enjoyable movie watching experience. It's not life-changing. It's not great. It's sure. not as good as the original most of the time. And very only rarely do I feel like they add something new and valuable. The Jungle Book did.
Yeah.
Beauty and
the Beast had some great parts. Like, Gaston
was better.
Was an interesting character.
Much more interesting.
Yeah, totally.
I loved the Beast's farewell song to Belle when he
sure
let you go.
Showed emotional depth.
Yeah, it was
the only
great.
Problem is that he looked like a CGI puppet.
He didn't look great.
No,
but I really liked that level of depth that they gave the character. I felt like they made their relationship make more sense in the live action version than in
I
the
can
animated.
See that. Yeah,
so good on them for that.
Yeah, they tried.
But like overall, my feeling on these is why I like even at their best, I'm like okay.
It's like, you already did this.
Mm-hmm.
Try something new. It's how I'm kind of feeling about it with Pixar now, too, as well. Because, like, why do we need a Toy Story 4?
That for a long time was something that I spoke of highly about Pixar.
Totally.
When I was having conversations about them. It's like, they don't ever come back and rehash shit.
Right.
They always do something new and interesting.
Until Disney
got
into control.
Well, no, even after that for a while. They were able to maintain, I think, enough control that they were able to foster these new ideas and an environment that encouraged these new ideas. And then something happened.
Sure.
And so we're getting a lot more of Pixar rehashing stuff now. And yeah, so I can't point that out anymore.
Nope.
When lauding Pixar people.
That's right.
Meanwhile, DreamWorks picked up John Lasseter.
Did they?
Oh, yeah, they totally did. Illegally so, but yes, they did. He technically wasn't done with his year apart from not taking work.
Uh-huh.
Because that was part of the deal of him walking away from Disney.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's now currently developing projects for DreamWorks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting ride for John Lasseter if you know his history and the history of DreamWorks themselves, because DreamWorks came out of a falling out with the Disney Animation Studios.
Mm.
Like, that's how it formed.
It was Spielberg's brainchild thing.
It was Spielberg, Kratzenberg, Geffen is
yeah.
were the three big names behind it. And it all, the whole thing developed at, because of a falling out with Disney on the business side.
Wow.
John, I don't know how much you know about John Lasseter's history.
All the stuff that came out of the light in the past year is what
I'm learned. Talking about, like, his life, like, before Pixar and all that.
I knew, like, that he, you know, was, like, a computer nerd and stuff
he
like
wasn't.
That.
No.
No, really?
No,
I thought
he
was part of that whole group in AOL.
He was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, but he wasn't the computer nerd in the group.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he was the only one in the group who knew how to animate. That was the problem.
Like draw, animate, like hand animate?
Who understood principles of animation.
Oh, okay.
How to make characters seem lifelike and that whole thing.
The Disney effect.
Basically.
Yeah.
And he knew how to do that because...
He went to the Disney school.
And he worked for Disney. If you go back and watch, what is it, 1981, 1982, Mickey's Christmas Carol, John Lasseter is credited on that.
Oh, it's really... I really like that movie.
It's great. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
It
still costs $20 if you try to buy it anywhere.
Yeah. But he,
that's Disney for you.
He was working for Disney in that, like, dark period when a lot of other people like Tim Burton and a lot of those, A113 people were there at this time. John Lasseter was there.
Yep.
And got let go because it was Disney's dark time, and he had interesting new ideas, and they said, we don't have any fucking room for that. Get the fuck out. He literally got fired for making a pitch for a movie that they rejected.
What was the movie?
I don't even remember.
Oh.
But he made
it. Would have been great if it was, like, something that came out and it was fantastic.
I think it was, actually. But I can't remember what it was off the top of my head.
Well, you also got to remember their original pitch for Toy Story was much, much darker than what we got.
Yeah. That was Joss Whedon came in and fixed that right up.
Yep, sure did.
So, he had worked for Disney, and some suit fired him for having original ideas.
Mm.
He went off and he actually joined Pixar because Pixar was a computer research firm.
It was a thing from a fucking Apple dude.
Not at the beginning.
Really? I thought Steve Jobs was always a pioneer for it.
No, before Steve Jobs owned Pixar, you want to know who did? George Lucas.
That's right. Yeah, so I thought they both owned it together.
Briefly. But Jobs got control of it when Lucas was getting a divorce, and he was basically trying to, like, get rid of assets and
stuff
like
that. How many divorces have George Lucas had now?
I'm not sure. A few. But
wow.
It started. Enough. They started as a research group at a university in California.
That I didn't know.
And then,
but I thought that was always like Steve Jobs, like I'm pioneering this thing.
He came in later, but Lucas was the original one that found out about him and gave him funding because he was interested in what they could develop to use for movies. And he just basically funneled the money and said, "Have fun. Let me know what you find out." And over years of doing this stuff, they started getting better and better at it. And so they started going to, like, SIGGRAPH and these other kind of, like, high-end tech things, trying to show off, look, we've developed this animation software. And people are going, animation software? What the fuck does that mean? And they're like, well, it means this. And they would show it to people and go, I don't get it. Why would I want to do that?
Ball thing or whatever.
And it wasn't very good. And so finally they went, we need to get somebody in here who knows something about animating. Like, we can program backwards and forwards. We know the hardware. We know
the
software.
That's where the Luxo ball came from, right?
Yeah. And so they brought in John Lasseter, and the first thing he did was, I think, for Pixar, if I remember correctly, was Andre and Wally B, which they showed at SIGGRAPH, and everyone went apeshit. And then they came back and were like, what software were you using for that? Like, what they were trying to pitch the whole time anyway, but sure. They couldn't make the pitch for it because they didn't have the artistic skill.
They didn't have Lasseter, a way to hook people in.
Lasseter was the hook. He came in at the late end. And provided the artistic.
He became
the artistic vision, where they were the technical. They had all that down.
Sure.
But he became the artistic vision for Pixar.
Yeah.
At that point,
that's cool. I heard he's really handsy and a little rapey.
I don't know about rapey. Handsy has been.
And he doesn't really treat equal. Not a real equal opportunist.
Let's leave it at that because we don't know.
Well, there's been no real thing. Nobody's, like, said any, like, lawsuits or nobody's saying anything. But there's been more than enough people. There's been talent that's complained about him. Like, Rashida Jones has complained about him quite a bit.
That's why she left Toy Story, isn't it?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I don't remember what movie she was working on.
She was writing Toy Story 4.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
She and a few others, like especially female animators, have complained about the treatment of them and John Lasseter's involvement with that. I don't know very much other than what's come out in the press.
Right.
But anyway, I digress. Live action shit needs to change. I don't know how we keep getting off on these weird tangents.
That was a very interesting lesson, though.
It's what we do.
So we're going to start calling Dave's Corner, Dave's Learning Corner.
Right.
We've tossed around several ideas of this nature.
Yes, we have. I think. It's time to learn with Dave.
But yeah,
there was a Pixar documentary, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's called Inside Pixar.
Yeah.
Or Pixar Story. I think
there's several Pixar documentaries. One of them is actually, you would find this interesting probably, Carrie. One of them is actually directed by Ub Iwerks' granddaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So back to what I was saying.
Oh, you were saying something?
I was saying something. Okay. I just want Disney to do something new and different.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's not going to happen.
So I just felt like looking this up as well, because she had said something about it. Beauty and the Beast, $160 million budget. Domestic box office was just better than half a billion.
Really? Domestically?
Domestic, yeah.
Yeah, I thought
that was internationally.
International foreign revenue was almost $7.5 billion.
Yeah, because I knew it hugely.
Or seven, sorry, 7.5 million. Yeah, and total was $1.2 billion.
It's the Alan Menken songs, man. They'll get you.
They do get you. That wasn't a bad movie. I liked Beauty and the Beast.
It was probably my favorite.
So of the- my fiance, who's a huge Beauty and the Beast fan, wasn't won over. I was surprised that she wasn't. I think parts of it's good. I don't think it's great. Like, I'd rather just watch the original, because the original is just more cohesive and just a better movie.
What about the sequel? Just watch the sequel.
There's a sequel?
I think there was.
One of those, like, straight-to-home video things.
Sequel, prequel, whatever they called them. Yeah.
Like, they had the Aladdin one, too.
There's a couple of Aladdin ones.
Those are pretty good, all right? Those straight-to-movies are not bad.
There's a couple of Lion King ones, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've never watched any of those. There's
a bunch of Little Mermaid ones.
And yep. There's like a Lion King one and a half.
I'm surprised they haven't jumped on the boat of making a Little Mermaid. I imagine that's
on the list.
It's on the list, yeah.
I imagine that would be more ripe.
That seems like a better choice.
They did that back in the 80s already, called Splash.
Well, technically,
yeah.
Technically, you're right. But I'm just surprised they haven't, like, tapped some of their other properties. I mean, they can't.
They're
do
going to.
I mean,
God, Lilo and Stitch is on the list. That what? Sounds like a train wreck.
Oh yes, that happened. The Rock is supposed to be in that movie.
Who is he playing?
They
is
haven't said.
Agent Bubbles.
I think so.
The Rock should be Lilo.
That would be hilarious. They motion capture the Rock for Lilo. Or no, not Lilo. Stitch for Stitch, man.
No, for Lilo.
Oh, for Lilo.
Yeah.
Ohana's for family.
Well, I mean, they're
is
not
there a certain property you would like Disney to adapt before anything else?
Or a I guess in the same vein, a property that Disney's put out that deserves a reimagining.
Deserves one. You know, I am still on board with The Lion King. I don't care what people think about it. I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to that one more than I'm looking forward to a lot of the other ones.
I'm looking forward to it more than Aladdin, because I think it worked better in a CGI-style reimagining. The Aladdin, here's the thing with Aladdin, is you're trying to replace something, a character that's become so synonymous with that movie.
I mean, Robin Williams.
It's hard to replace that.
My think is, why even go that route of trying to do something similar? They should have gone far left.
I thought they should have gone dark with the genie.
They should have gone far left with the genie, like they did with the Broadway show. It's a humanoid guy in blue. Just do that.
Disney California Adventure, they have a theater called Hyperion Theater. And for years, they had a Broadway-style Aladdin show.
Right.
And it's phenomenal. It's gone now because they have I think there's a Frozen show there now. But
of course there is.
Of course there is. But the Aladdin show was fucking great. It works in that type of Broadway style show. Mm. The storyline works. Everything works.
Surprised they didn't go that route for this movie. Like more of a musical.
We don't know if they haven't yet.
As far as I understand, there isn't. There is going to be music numbers in it because right. we saw the. There's a scene in the teaser where everybody is on the fucking. You know, where he's making his entrance.
The grand entrance.
Grand
song,
entrance yeah. on all the animals and shit. They show.
Right.
They show a brief
the
clip.
The Prince
of
Ali
that.
Scene and all that.
Right. And, I don't know. And I think they're going for like a Bollywood look, maybe.
It makes sense a little
because,
bit.
Because, I don't know. I guess.
It makes sense to do it that way.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, let's not pass final judgment until we see further.
I'm trying not to, but they're making it very difficult for me not to.
Yeah. I understand.
I wish they would have let Will Smith be Will Smith, not CGI rendition Will Smith.
We've only seen a little bit of Will Smith in the movie.
I guarantee you he's going to be like that for most of the movie.
No, you know, the way he looks, yeah.
Yeah.
But
he looks terrible. He looks like...
He has no neck. He looks like Corpse Grinder from Cannibal Corpse.
Yes.
But painted blue.
He's like a really beefy, like, heavy lifter in this movie.
Yeah.
That did take me aback slightly, because, like, when they had the... Who was it? Like, Entertainment Weekly or whoever it was that had the big, like, photo spread
sure.
a couple months back. We were talking about that. And part of what I said then was, yeah, this is just, like, photos, though. Like, we don't really know what it's going to look like in the movie yet.
Sure.
In action, yeah.
When they showed him all, like, beefed out in the trailer, I was like, okay. That, like, kind of took me aback a little bit.
I was like, oh, go back to what you had planned. Just go back to the live-action stuff. Pinocchio
I think otherwise he doesn't look bad.
Pinocchio?
I think Pinocchio would make a great live-action
remake.
It's
on the list.
Yeah, but Guillermo del Toro is going to beat him to it with his stop-motion one.
It doesn't matter.
And we're going to run into that whole, like, three Jungle Book movies coming out the exact same time again.
Yeah.
I still haven't even seen that Andy Serkis Jungle Book movie that's on Netflix.
The Mowgli one?
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. I want to watch it.
It looks terrible is what I hear.
I haven't watched a trailer.
The trailer I watched for it looked intriguing. Enough that I was interested to watch it.
I know, like, Idris Elba's in it.
Well, you can watch it because you're paying more for Netflix now, so.
Alice. It's Idris Elba. He probably goes, Mowgli.
He's in the Mowgli movie?
Isn't he in the Mowgli movie?
He was in the Disney one.
Oh, I'm confusing him now. See, I get him confused.
He was he Bagheera? Or, no, he was Shere Khan.
Shere Khan.
I think you're right, yeah.
In the Disney one.
Yeah. You know what was a great Jungle Book remake? Was
Tailspin?
Tailspin is awesome, but no.
Tailspin was awesome.
What's the one with...
Jason Scott Lee that came out in the 90s with Cary Elwes.
I liked that one.
That one's fucking fantastic. I own a digital copy of that. It's great.
What about the one with... what's the guy from Home Improvement?
Tim Allen? There's a Jungle
something,
Book?
Jungle to the Jungle. Jungle to Jungle. There you go.
That's not a Jungle Book movie.
Close enough.
Although, that was pretty fun. I actually did enjoy that as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to get to remaking those.
Are they? They're
going to have to.
They're going
to
have really? To.
They're tearing through this material. They're going to run out soon.
As long as I get a live-action Black Cauldron, I'll be okay.
You're not going to. I'm just telling you now.
Oh, it's not
going
to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Speaking of, you said Lord of the Rings earlier. Have you seen the trailer for that Tolkien movie?
I did. I did see a trailer for that.
Looks interesting.
Looks super,
have you seen it yet?
Super
it's
epic.
For what? Is it for the show that's coming out?
No, there's a movie called Tolkien.
I don't know anything about that.
You have to watch the trailer later. It's pretty interesting.
The guy who plays Beast in the first class
Nicholas
movies.
Holt.
Yeah. He's going to play Tolkien.
I like him.
He was so Tolkien was alive during World War 1 or 2?
1.
Well, both.
Which
he
one did
served
he
in World War 1.
Yeah, he served in 1.
Okay, so it's basically during that time where he comes up with
the And they show shots for him, you know, World War 1 stuff in the movie.
He was doing, you know what he was doing at that point? He hadn't any thought about rings and hobbits and all that shit. He was making up languages at that point. That's what he was doing. Because that was his love, was He was a philologist, which is a archaic term that we don't use much anymore, which basically means linguist.
So he basically had to write a story so we could use his new language.
That is exactly right. No, he created the languages before he created the world.
And he probably created the lore before he created the books and stuff, before he started writing.
To a large degree, but a lot of it was driven by the languages. He created a lot of the languages first and then created the history to explain.
When did he die? In the 40s?
70s.
70s? Mm-hmm. Is it that late?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He didn't even live to see the greatest adaptation of it. He had to watch those crappy animated movies.
No, that was in the 80s, so...
Oh, were they? I thought those were in the
70s. Wasn't The Hobbit and the stuff in the 80s?
I think those were 70s.
Late 70s. Well, yeah, maybe. I'm pretty sure they were in the late 70s.
Maybe that's what killed him.
Probably right. He go, oh!
Well, right. Who was it? Like, I think during his lifetime, the Beatles owned the movie rights to Lord of the Rings.
Shut up, for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then... I can't remember what happened, but yes, at some point...
Michael Jackson bought everything.
I think that's not wrong.
Michael Jackson bought the Beatles.
They bought
library.
The catalog, yeah.
And I think that somehow that might have been part of it. I may be making that up, but I'm pretty sure the Beatles had the rights to the Lord of the Rings movie for a while.
Weird.
And I think Michael Jackson might have briefly as well. I'm less sure about that one. But.
I don't know if I want to live in that world where Michael Jackson produces...
Made a Lord of the Rings movie? I know.
It'd be like The Wiz.
Frodo. Hey, Frodo. I got them rings.
All right. So let's move on from there.
Move on to the next Disney subject.
We have some George Hates Metal to come up, and then we have to talk about what's tickling our geeks. To the show, George Hates Metal is a topic, and we just heard something that we're going to get your opinion on. We'll get Dave's opinion on it too. Something from the brand new Tear album that's coming out. I don't even know the release date of it. They've released a couple songs so far.
It's coming from halfway across the world, so it's going to take
from
a minute.
Faroe's Islands, right?
Faroe's Islands. Yeah.
Faroe's Islands,
which is like
not the Faroe,
well off the coast of Iceland, basically.
Wow.
Yep.
So think. Tiny little Iceland. Think smaller.
Smaller than that.
The song was called Sunset Shore. We watched the music video for it. Let's hear what you think about the song.
I actually like the band Tear, so it wasn't very...
Oh, I didn't know that.
It wasn't a stretch for me to enjoy this song. It's pretty good. I like it quite a bit. That's all I have to say about that. Music video is something to be desired, but that's...
It's beautifully shot.
Some good moments.
So you like Tear? I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I like a lot of their songs. I wouldn't say I have a specific album or
now the song that we heard is it's a little bit different than some of their older stuff.
I thought so. I felt like I didn't like it quite as much.
I didn't like it as much the first time I heard it too, but the second time I heard it, third time,
I like the harmony that they do, especially when the song picks up the tempo. And
yeah,
I think it's nice, good, strong riffing, and yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. It reminds me of some of the other songs that I've liked from them. So
I saw them live one time at the House of Blues with trying to think of which other band it was. It might have been Children of Boredom. Can't remember.
Sounds right.
And it's another band.
This was like 2 years ago.
Maybe a little bit longer. Maybe like 4 years ago. 5 years ago. Okay. Yeah. Hey, voice from the other room.
The voice has gone silent.
She left the room.
I can't remember the other band that was with him, but I remember Tear was the middle band.
Mm-hmm.
They played a good long while. It was fun.
Cool.
Yeah, Children of Bodom. You remember that show, The Children of Bodom? No, it wasn't Anathema. Maybe it was. No.
Nobody knows. it's not really important.
It's not. No, that was bugging me, no. Was Tear? I don't remember that.
Anyway, back to this song.
Back to the song. Yeah, no, I was about to say, Children of Bodom, they're touring with Wolfheart and Swallow the Sun, so which means I get to go home early. That's right. All right. Yeah. I've actually heard a little bit of the new Children of Bodom stuff, and it's not bad. It's not as guitar wankery as a couple of their past albums were.
I don't think I've ever listened to a single Children of Bodom song.
There are good ones.
Yes, there are.
Like, there's good material out there. It's just...
far and few in between?
No, it's just... it gets to be a bit much.
Yeah, yeah. The
Specifically Alexi Leo.
Yeah.
It gets to be a
Or the Hit Me much. Baby One More Time cover they did.
I never heard that.
Yeah. But yeah. Turn to Bottom, they're okay. They're just not... the last time we saw them, maybe the time before this, we were just like... it was just... guitar wankery everywhere. It was just, it was overkill. It was like way too
lost,
much.
Got lost in the solo kind of deal.
It was like a 2 hour solo.
He's
a good guitar player, and he likes to show it
and
off.
He is. I don't mean to disparage his skills. He's far better than I am, but I also don't think he's as good as he thinks he is. Let me put
right.
it that way.
Yeah.
And so he gets real out in the weeds on doing guitar solo stuff. and
it's hard to come back well, to the original rhythm.
Well, and the keyboardist does it too. The keyboardist, like, they egg each other on because the keyboardist is good. And so they do these, like, dueling solo things, especially in, you know, like, a live context. And, like, it's not that it's not entertaining. It's just, like, it loses its appeal quickly. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, agreed. So cool. Maybe it was Death Angel that played on this tour. We're trying to think of with Tear. I don't. That sounds
still
about right.
Bugging you.
Yeah, Death Angel. That's what it was.
All right.
That was a good show until we got to leave for Children of Bodom.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, Tear's cool.
New album coming out.
I like
so
a few of their
looking
songs.
Looking forward to it.
I don't know what songs I have liked on my Spotify list. But
do you like
come.
The hold the heathen hammer high? That's hard to say.
Hold the heathen hammer high.
Yeah. Say it five times fast.
Hold the heathen hammer high. I can't even say it two times fast.
I can't even say it one time fast. All right, so let's move on from George Hates Metal and figure out what's tickling our geeks. Whoop, whoop.
So it's that time of the hour and the week, month, time of the day where we talk about what's tickling our little geeks this week.
Time's an illusory construct.
It
so
really
don't,
is.
Don't worry about
it
that.
It sure is.
It's fine.
Would you like to go first, Dave?
Weren't we here yesterday doing the same thing?
We were. Or were we?
I don't know.
So I guess I just found out about the thing I'm excited about. Apparently there's a Tolkien biopic coming out. I'm into that. That sounds... I don't know. Can't really tell much from the trailer.
And, it's only like a 30-second
spot.
But
I don't
so.
Care. Like, I kind
of
listen to
it nerd
anyway.
Of Tolkien.
I'm a Tolkien nerd.
Damn,
so, yeah.
That makes sense. That's right up your alley.
It is. And is I it, like... what is his name?
Nicholas Holt.
I like him.
He was Beast in all the newer like, X-Men
yeah.
movies, yeah.
He's been in a lot of other movies, but I can't tell
know,
you
right?
what they are right now.
There's another role of his that, like...
He played
I really,
Billy Elliot, I think.
I cannot... Yeah, I know I've seen him in other stuff, too, and there's one particular role that's, like, just in that nebulous part of my consciousness that I can't quite pull it back out.
Sure. But, like, I can recognize his face
yeah.
in a dime, but I couldn't tell you what he's been in.
About a boy? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, there you go. It was one of those British movies.
What about Mad Max Fury Road?
That's right.
That's the other one
yeah.
I was trying. That was the face that I was not
yeah,
quite
yeah, yeah.
getting to come out. Yeah.
He was one of
the war boys.
What a glorious yeah. day.
Yep. So, is it... I've always wondered, is it biopic or is it biopic?
I always read
it's a biopic.
It biopic. Like
yeah.
I understand that it's biopic. It's a biographical picture.
Right.
It's a biopic, but I always read the word
it's biopic.
It's
yeah.
biopic.
Me
yes.
too. I agree on that.
Y'all are weird.
Yes.
I didn't say we weren't.
All right. What about you, Kara? What are you excited about this week?
Something new for me too. I bought a ticket for this just this evening. The Alamo Draft House in Katy here in the Houston area. The week after next is doing Class of Nukem High 1 and 2 with Who's going to be there?
Lloyd Kaufman himself.
Lloyd Kaufman himself will be there doing autographs and doing a Q&A.
I'm hoping that's what's going to happen.
I'm sure he would.
Yeah. So I'm going to be there as well. Yeah, I think you found out when I told you about it.
Well, I knew about it. It's been on my radar, but I forgot it was this close.
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, I better see if there's a ticket left, and there was. Yeah,
so I'm excited to see that as well.
Not a great movie, not one of his best, but they're fun.
They're fun. They're stupid. Yeah. I think James Gunn was one of the earlier editors on that movie, if I'm not mistaken. So, some pop culture fingerprints on it, I guess.
And that's true. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited for that. I'm also very excited. I forced you guys listen to the new Health album a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine surprised me with Health tickets for Christmas.
You know what the tickets are good for?
To get healthy.
They're good for your health.
Ba-boom. Oh, haven't heard that one. if you don't know anything about the band Health, they are like a industrial electric rock band from California. It's like a three-piece band. They've done soundtracks for Grand Theft Auto, Max Payne.
Okay.
And then they also have their own albums, of course. They were on the Atomic Blonde soundtrack as well.
Haven't seen that yet. Somebody told me recently that I would love that movie.
Love is a strong word. I liked it. I didn't love it. The plot sucked, but the action's great.
Okay. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, sometimes it is. But they're really cool. I really like them. They speak to my soul at times.
Speaking of concerts, I'm looking forward to some concerts coming up. Looking forward to seeing Swallow the Sun and Wolf Heart together. And then, like I said earlier, leaving for Children of Bodom.
Those are like two bands where it's just going to be like, all right, get the song over.
No,
let's get the song over with.
You are totally wrong,
I'm
sir.
Totally right.
That's how I feel about Hells.
Is it?
Maybe.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I can't listen to metal all the time, so.
I can't either. I'd be deaf.
I'm trying to think of any other shows. I know.
Exactly.
What?
Huh?
Going to see Avantasia in California in a few months.
Anastasia?
Avantasia.
Is that like a Russian musical?
No, they're German.
It's just like a Russian musical.
It sounds like a Russian
musical. Not Anastasia, Avantasia.
Does she kill herself at the end?
Yes. she does. Are you good with that?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
No, you know who Avantasia is, right?
Never heard of it.
Oh, my God. It's a metal rock opera.
Oh, I would hate
band.
It.
No, you wouldn't.
You would probably hate it.
Yeah, you might hate it.
I'd probably hate it.
It's Tobias Sammet from Ed Guy. That's his sort of a side project.
That guy? The Amadeus guy?
Tobias Sammet from Ed Guy.
Does he do the song Amadeus Amadeus?
Yes.
I know that song.
Yeah, they do that song.
All right. Yeah. That's the only song I know.
But Avantasia, it's sort of like each album, it's concept albums. They have different vocalists and different musicians.
So different operas?
Yes.
So it is like a Russian musical.
No, it's like a German musical. You okay with that? Good. They've only played America, I think they've only toured America once before.
Oh, wow. So this is their second time?
Second time in America. Ed Guy's played here before a few times, but...
Is he going to play Amadeus?
Wrong band.
Well, I mean...
And I think on this tour,
in Rome, as they say.
He's going to have Jorn Lande is going to be with him. Jeff Tate from Queendreck will be with him. He's going to have different vocalists on the tour with him. So I think they're only doing.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Really nice of him to give Jeff Tate work.
I know, right? He needs it. I don't know where to go from that. No, they're
so
only
when's
playing.
The show? When's the show? When's it happening?
Into May. Like May 19th, something like that.
Right on.
They're only playing like four or five shows in America completely.
And so. where it's at?
Anaheim.
So not in Texas?
No, not in Texas. California. I said California.
Oh,
earlier.
You did? I don't remember you saying California. Maybe I was so stuck on the idea that this was a Russian musical.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never seen them live ever. I mean, I've seen, watching live videos and concerts and stuff like that, but
sure,
we got good seats too, because We bought the tickets.
Is it in the Disney Music Hall?
No, it's not. It's I don't remember what the name of it. It's not that far from Disneyland at all, though. So, of course, we're going to spend a couple of days at Disneyland while we're there.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Why go so close and not go to Disneyland?
We got really good tickets because it was like a...
That means you'll be there for Star Wars Land.
I will not. This is happening in May, and Star Wars Land supposedly opened in June.
Oh, I thought it opened in May.
No, it opens in June. That's what they're saying. But you never know. Maybe like they're doing like a test opening or...
Like a soft opening?
Soft opening or something. I doubt that. Don't know. I mean...
Disney doesn't do that.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Not for regular folk.
Who said I'm a regular folk?
Hey, now, yeah. Don't offend.
Are you part of the D23 club?
Actually...
Like the legit one, not the free one?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Then that's who it's probably for if they are going to do a soft opening.
Right.
Yeah.
You might be right.
I'm a little right.
D23 in press.
Yep. I am press. I got into D...
I know. I am giving you ideas.
I got into D23 with this show, so...
There you go.
Maybe. You never know. They'll probably release more information closer to it. But even if it's not open, I still have a couple of fun days at Disneyland. There's a bunch of new stuff I haven't seen yet.
There's Pixar Pier.
Pixar Pier. I haven't been on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride yet.
Oh, the escape thing?
The Tower of Terror that used to be.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff. But
cool.
It's fun to be there and get away. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I definitely need a vacation.
I totally feel you on that.
That's what I'm looking forward to. This all the stuff tickling my geek.
All right.
Want to end the show? Talk about it?
Let's keep it going.
All right. Let's do it.
What else? We can always talk about that one topic I was talking about.
Do you want to? I mean...
I don't know. Apparently you guys like poo-poo that idea.
Our feelings?
Yep.
I'll talk about my feelings. Okay. I'm feeling I don't want to talk about that other topic.
See?
No, we can.
You put up this wall between you and I, Carrie. It's very Trumpish of you.
Oh.
Oh.
Did you just call me Trumpish? Wow.
I broke Dave.
I broke Dave
is what happened.
And that, folks, is the end of the show forever. No. The topic you're talking about, I do want to talk about more, but I think let's hold it to a whole another episode.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of new things that are me opening up this year, in the next couple of years, that I'm looking forward to.
Right on.
So let's talk about our sponsor.
Did we get a new one?
No. Same sponsor.
Oh.
Talk about them.
Who, me?
Yes. You.
Oh, sure.
This is your penance.
My penance for... Hey,
for that Trump comment.
You are building walls. I'm breaking them down, sir, by making Dave laugh. tantrumcollectibles.com.
Mr. Gordon, tear down this wall.
Mr. Gordon, tear down this wall.
Tonight, playing Ronald Reagan. It's George Trips.
Mr. Gordon.
So I'm Gorbachev now? What the fuck?
Yes, you're Gorbachev.
You got to tear down this wall. That's the best.
If that's your best, I don't want to hear your worst.
I wasn't around very much when he was here.
Okay.
Come on, give me a break. I don't have a lot to pull from when it comes to Reagan.
Our sponsors are going to love our Reagan
talk. Reagan-infused pitch for them. For all your Reagan needs.
They haven't made a Reagan Funko Pop yet, but give them time.
Give them time. Do they have a Trump Funko Pop?
They did make a Trump Funko Pop.
Holy shit.
It was during election year. They made a Trump, and they made a Bernie Sanders, and they made a Hillary Clinton.
All right.
They did. I saw them in the store one day. I'm like, why? But
so you can build a wall.
Build a wall out of them.
Crooked Hillary can't get through this wall.
See, that's not bad. Everybody has a Trump, though.
Everybody does a Trump. Yeah, who doesn't?
I don't.
You don't?
I've never tried.
Everybody's got one.
Never tried.
No? Anyway, back to
Tantra. And I'm not going
to
start now.
So Tantra Collectibles is where you can get all your Trump Funko Pops.
I don't think they have Trump Funko Pops.
They don't?
They don't.
They keep a special order, today, I think.
Maybe.
They could probably.
If it's still available, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to come by these days. Because we're busy making America great.
Don't be one of them dudes.
I'm sorry. It's hard to take it so seriously. Tantra Collectibles, where you can get all your Funko Pops and Bandai anime stuff.
Artifacts, Banpresto, all the anime stuff.
All that anime stuff. That
all the cool statues.
Statues. And statues. And vinyl action toys, figures. Yeah. And vinyl toys. All the stuff that Carrie has no more space for.
Very true.
And, you know, if you're one of those people who just needs more in your life, get more from Tantrum Collectibles. And if you want to save 10% while you're getting more, type in Metal Geeks, get 10% off. That's just a little tip from me to you while we're making America great.
Oh, God.
Good night, everyone.
America's already been great.
Has it?
No.
No, it really hasn't. It's not great right now, that's for fucking sure.
Because we're not going political here, because we could be here for another fucking hour. So we're not going to do that. Well, but what we're going to do now...
Government might be shut down by then.
By the time this comes out, it might be. what we are going to do now is let people know where they can find us on the internet. If the internet is not shut down by then. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Metal Geeks. You can find the show at MSRcast.com, MetalGeeks.net. Find us on all the places where you can download your favorite podcast, like iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. You can find us on Stitcher and Spotify.
Be sure to follow us on Spotify.
You can follow us on Spotify.
I've been trying to get Carrie to, so we can all make playlists on Spotify. That'd be fun.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. We see who get more followers. Probably no one.
We'll just make a...
Who among us could get more followers?
None of us. Let's just be honest here.
We can make one playlist.
Just one? We should make a Dave, Carrie, and George list.
All right.
See who gets more followers. But the answer is going to be zero. Everyone's going to look at it and like, nah.
I don't know. Maybe yours. You can put like Limp Bizkit or something on there.
Oh, dude, that's a great idea.
Oh, God.
God, fuck, you gave me some good ideas now. $3 bill, y'all, is going to be a number one. I'm just going to do a playlist of just $3 bill, y'all, over and over again.
All right. So, on that note, which costs no dollar bills, y'all, you can find us actually on our affiliate link, too, at ESOpodcast.com, and subscribe to the ESO Podcast Network feed. All of the shows that are available through the fine folks over at ESO Network are going to be there, so you can just find one feed and listen to all the cool shows.
Exactly.
That's right.
Get all the shit you need for your ears in one place.
It's very true. What about you guys? Where can people find you guys?
Yeah, Dave, where can they find you?
Red Viking Dave on the social media things. And starting in a couple weeks, for 2 months on the weekend, you can find me at Sherwood Forest Fair, where I will be vending artwork.
Awesome. When does that start?
First weekend of March.
Awesome. Wow, that quick, huh?
Yep.
Wow. And that's the one close to Austin, yes. Right?
Yep.
I've never been to that one.
It's nice. I like it.
I've driven by it once. I haven't actually gone. Maybe this year, but maybe not.
But maybe not.
If I have time, maybe.
Time is a high commodity to come by these days.
It is very true.
Time is an illusory construct. We already talked about that.
It's true.
We did this shit yesterday.
Or we haven't done it yet.
Or we haven't done it at all.
Yeah, it hasn't even started yet.
Wow. Blown my mind.
Blown that mind.
All right,
you can find me on all the social medias, George Tripses.
All of them?
All of them.
Pinterest?
Yeah, probably. If you want to follow the stupid shit I follow on Pinterest, which is, at the moment, all wedding stuff.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations again from us.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
You are getting married.
I recently am engaged.
You are having an engagement?
I'm having an engagement party coming up soon, and then, you know, hoping we can get married in the fall is what we're hoping for.
Very cool. Well, congrats again.
I appreciate it. And
your life is over. No, I'm joking.
Oh, no, don't say that.
I'm joking.
Catherine's life is over.
That's right.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, let's be fair. She's a saint for putting up with me this long.
I wasn't going to say it.
She definitely
is. I was thinking it for you. And then you could find me, all my work that I do for the comic at Grey Bear Comics. We are currently hard at work to get issues 4 and 5 done, and we're going to be doing a Kickstarter hopefully sooner rather than later. And if you're a fan of that kind of stuff, you know, check it out. And then also do a comedy podcast with my co-writer for Speak No Evil, which is called Mindfudge Comedy Podcast. And you can find that
and
also.
Friend of the show.
And friend of the show.
Justin, who's on here a lot.
He always makes fun of my music taste.
As he should.
As he should, though.
Come on. He should.
I mean, who doesn't like $3 Bill, yo?
Us two?
The members of Limp Bizkit.
And everybody else in the world.
Really, though? I thought that was their only good album.
Wait, they have a good album?
That was the good album.
All right.
That was it.
We'll just agree to disagree and never speak of this again.
Come on, man.
I've unfortunately
get it together now. In together now.
Is that- I've unfortunately not had the pleasure of seeing part of their show live one time.
I've seen Limp Bizkit twice. First time was on accident.
On purpose?
No. First time was on accident because it was like a Family Values tour and did not know he was going to be there. And then the second time, he was at a BuzzFest show.
I saw him at an OzFest when they were playing. We just walked to the other side of the place.
Yeah.
They had a big giant toilet or something on the stage. It was ridiculous.
It's synonymous with their music.
Shit.
And on that note, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to episode number 160 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Thanks again, and we have a couple things we have to say at the very end.
Keep it metal.
And always... always keep it geeky.
That's right.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath.
And we have a sneaking suspicion that you don't actually listen to these promos.
So we're not going to make you listen to one. Bye!
Brought to you by the Watchathon of Rassilon, a podcast where Joe and Tony watch all of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Available on the ESO Network or wherever else you get podcasts from.
But honestly, where else would you go?
WatcherRassilon.com?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.